In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we will now rise to hear the Gospel text for today. It is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Amen. The parable of the prodigal son is one of those parables with which Jesus answered those who complained against the fact that he went to the sinful and spent time with them. He answered with these three parables. One of them is this parable of the prodigal son that is familiar to us. The image of the father's home and heirs, this temporal image touches us deeply because it is a question of spiritual matters. It serves and reveals our understanding as much as we need to look at that fellowship and participation that signifies the Lord's congregation, the flock upon this earth, the home of the Father, where we are taken care of in preparation for heaven. All people have this kind of starting point. Many have lost this inheritance and these gifts, but many have also received them back. All people have the same starting point. We all have been redeemed by Christ, and on the basis of this, we belong to Him. The starting point is the same. But many people lose this during the different stages of life, being corrupted by sin. They lose their inheritance. And the house of God, the home of the Father, these gifts. This has unfortunately happened to many people. Not everyone has this kind of the same kind of starting point as the prodigal son, where he had received, been able to listen to the will of his father and to live of this inheritance. I have encountered Finnish parents who say regarding their children that this child can choose as an adult what he wishes to believe. Great darkness. In this, they do not take into account Jesus' commandment by baptizing and teaching. By teaching them that which he himself taught, that they would be reared in this from the very beginning. This type of perspective is disappearing in our time. The prodigal son had received in his father's home this instruction. It is reflected by what he remembered even during the days of his transgression, when the Son of God approached the sinful. He didn't accept their sins, but he taught them and exhorted them to repent. The sermon of repentance has been heard at these services also by those who have lost the inheritance of their father's home. Already in early childhood or later, or during whatever stage of life, God always calls people back. The prodigal son remembered the home of his father, what life was like when his own life had become corrupt because of sins and failings, and there had come death. When Paul says, "You were dead because of sins and transgressions, but God awoke you." It is God's work. this work that awakens. It is God's work from the very beginning. It isn't the work of man. When the prodigal son remembered his father's house, it had been pressed into the innermost reaches of his heart, and it resurfaced in his mind. We could ask, did he himself make this decision to return to his father's house? We understand that in the background there was the call of his father's house, what life was like in his father's house. Not everyone has this kind of memory of childhood or youth, but God calls in many different ways. I will quote the old Christian doctrine, because the newer one is a little more difficult to quote because it doesn't teach much about repentance and awakening anymore. But previously in the old Christian doctrine, there are portions related to this, and they are often related to the parable of the prodigal son, as a quote from the Bible. The old bishops understood regarding the external church that there are three kinds of people: those who are not sorrowful, and those who are awoken, and those who have been pardoned. And we do work so that everyone could believe through grace. And the work of God's kingdom has always been done on the basis of this, so that each person, no matter what his state is, could receive the grace of God to return from their wrong ways and to find what they have lost. And during this anniversary year of the Reformation, I can quote a certain discussion that a couple of wise people from Europe had, Martin Luther and Erasmus. They debated and discussed whether a person has free will to turn towards God. Luther was of the opinion that no. The other was had an opposing viewpoint, and also stated that there is something good in a person, a spark with which he can influence matters. And Luther said, with no matter, nothing can be found in a person. And this difference has remained. And we hold on to this matter which is taught by the Bible, of which Jesus said, without me, you cannot do anything. And Paul said, God causes you to have will and doing. This is all God's work from the beginning to the end. This old Christian doctrine says the Holy Spirit awakens a person who does not have sorrow with different events of life, suffering, the examples of others, and God's word. How have you been called, service guest or hearer of the word? It is God's matter. God can in many ways speak to and call to repentance, and in the Christian doctrine it refers to the prodigal son in a foreign land. and his thoughts. The Father's home called him back. God wishes to help those who are lost back into that sheepfold. We sang during the opening hymn, the hymn of Shepherd's Hymn, about this matter, and we pray that we would not be lost from your flock onto foreign roads. It is written by an old minister from Riga in Latvia, who during the opening early days of the Reformation 500 years ago received the grace of repentance and wrote this noble hymn, which teaches us also to hold on to the house of the Father, God's kingdom, and its message. In the Father's home, this Son said, as we read, "I have sinned against thee and against heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." The Son had no merits. And this is how he came, and his Father received him and had mercy on him and kissed him, as it says in the Bible. This thought and promise is related to the promise of the Father about the forgiveness of sins. It is a most important matter that we believe this and preach this. Jesus performed many miracles, which Matthew lists 6 of them, and says, after these miracles, at the end of them, "Unto the poor the gospel will be preached." And Luther explains that the last of them is the most important, that unto the poor the gospel is preached. The Father received his Son. Mauno Koivuneva, the pastor, asked 30 years ago from confirmation students that what would you have done instead of the Father. One of the sons said, "I would have whipped him." But another boy said, "What a compassionate Father." And so we humans have many different understandings, and our reason does not understand God's deeds, that God is compassionate and merciful and utterly good towards sinful and only sinful people. Unto such a person belongs God's grace. The Father had his Son be dressed in the best clothes. This is the robe of Christ's righteousness. This white robe is the righteousness of the saints. In the newest Bible translation, it says, it is the good works of the saints. It's understood, a matter that's understood wrong. The original speaks to us correctly. It is God's gift, righteousness, which has been put on believers and is always put on when a person repents. Through grace, this robe, you have been dressed with the same robe, and you have had a ring put on your finger. The seal of the Holy Spirit to assure you of who you belong to and who rules over your heart at this moment. And then shoes on your feet. This is the preparation to for the gospel, the preparation or willingness to preach the gospel of peace. These spiritual pieces of equipment are yet given to the prodigal son when he returns to his father's house with such a mind and heart that I have nothing to give. I can only receive as gifts of God's grace. And this awakens this great joy. This kind of joyful moment was experienced at that home, and this is the moment, kind of moment that is experienced whenever someone believes the message of the gospel. Whether through sufferings or trials or other, the examples of others or from the call of God, Martin Luther could not say that one's childhood home, that his childhood home would have been where he returned to those instructions. He had to write to his father later that we were then both of us astray. But fortunately, his parents also received the grace of repentance. And when he had portraits painted of them, he wrote on both of them that these have gone from here in faith. This happened also because of God's grace, and God's word called. He also was able to hear the compassionate message of his father's house, as he says when he met his old monk brother, who explained to him that faith isn't this kind of general, as the enemy of the soul believes that God exists. And it's not that we believe that Peter and David have received their sins forgiven. No, but it is that you yourself believe your sins forgiven. And Luther tells that he received peace and life from this, and this is much. And so you been able to receive life and peace from this gospel of the poor, and joy, which we can see from this parable, when they rejoiced in the house of the Father from the son who had died and had become alive, spiritually dead, who had been awakened and who had been pardoned. This kind of joy was there. And the gospel text for today calls all prodigal sons and daughters back into the house of the Father. And many of your children and friends are reminded, just as this prodigal son, what was life like when I was in my father's house and I could be there and I was taken care of and everything was well. God's call into this fellowship is great grace. And you do not receive any merits even on the journey. I was once around at a sick bed, and I talked with his loved one, and we talked of God's grace, and we blessed with the gospel, and nearby an unknown person asked, could I also believe? As you talked about among yourselves, and we preached this person's sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. Both of them died on the same day. One had believed for 80 years, the other for one day. And the same reward through God's grace, the gift of everlasting life. That is what God's grace is like. It is enough for everybody. And it does not bring merits to anybody. There had come some to the older brother. As we read, he listed what he had done and how well he had served his father. And he hadn't received even a goat or a kid to make merry with his friends. And it is precisely this group of complainers who criticized the Lord Jesus that he kept company with the sinful and called them to repentance. The older son had a worse situation. We remember how Jesus once said to the scribe, you are not far from God's kingdom. Beautifully said and correct. But he was close, but yet far away. This is how it is with many people in life, that they appear to be doing well, but then yet they are far away. They are not in the love of the Father's home and in its guidance, but they have built up their own. And this is damaging for a person. That is why the gospel of God's kingdom calls even today every person to believe through grace, to live of its strength, and to endeavor, reminding us also that we would not leave your flock to travel along foreign paths. There is the danger that we would leave our Father's home. God protects his own with those grace instructions that are at our disposal. And when we live in these, he gives us the strength to be preserved as his own. But above all, according to the theme for today, if you feel that you are in the place of the prodigal son, that you have lost your father's home, you can return. Sinful, believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. Through God's grace, you can be reborn. And the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens, and sanctifies, and protects in the only true faith, as we have read from the Catechism and believed. In this way, God's work continues in this work, and you travel, friend. To you belongs this wonderful promise of the gospel. Be comforted. Your sins will be forgiven you. This most important message, which was in Jesus' proclamation, and it is yet. Uplift your hearts to believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name, and precious atonement blood. God, may God's peace through this fill everyone's hearts with joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen.